This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, it is 6:36 on the dot. You are with Kelvin and Cam on the evening edition. And we are now going to shift our focus to our next story, which is the issue of last names, specifically for Muslim children born out of wedlock. So yesterday, Malaysia's federal court handed out a majority ruling that a couple from Johor could let their son of 5 months and born out of wedlock to take on his father's name as his last name instead of taking the last name Bin Abdullah.
The court case concerned a fatwa by the National Registration Department and its Director General applied when publishing the child's birth certificate designating his last name as Bin Abdullah instead of his father's.
And this is because the fatwa issued by the apparent or maybe nicknamed National Fatwa Committee requires all Muslim children in Malaysia born out of wedlock to take the last name Bin Abdullah. So this is an interesting issue because in other Muslim countries such as Saudi Arabia, this isn't quite the case. And actually, in fact, they don't quite take the last name. So I think from my observation, this isn't something that I might come across anytime soon. But if I did, I think empathetically, I think this is the focus of, if I were in the position, it would be extremely difficult for myself as a parent, and I'd be constantly worried about my child because of the stigma that that last name brings. Kids, because of having that last name, they get stigmatized, they are ostracized by their fellow peers, and maybe even by the parents of these children that make fun of my, you know, hypothetical child here. So It's not a place, it's not a world that I want my child to grow up in, especially because of circumstances that are completely out of my control, but I feel would be completely, it's something that you can avoid because this is not a failure of nature of any or anything like that. This is merely a failure of policy.
Policy and circumstances in life. Mm. Well, we don't know the stories that led up to these moments, but then if a child has to grow up into an adult and go through life with this very obvious target in their name that indicates a story over which they had no control, mm-hmm. and actually over which the parents also had no control. It just seems unfair to condemn people to that. Times are changing, of course, and people's attitudes are perhaps becoming more understanding.
Yeah,
but equally, perhaps not. So, I personally find it's deeply unfair.
Just a bit, and I think the focus here likely should be on the best interests of the child. What would then give them the best quality of life? And if this is something that might impede on their quality of life, perhaps it's worth re-looking into how these judgments come about.
What's the most important thing for parents coming up? Choosing the name of your child. Mm. And if part of that name-giving process is taken out of your hands, that just seems so wrong.
Now, actually, earlier today, we had the opportunity to speak with a father who is dealing with his child having the last name Bin Abdullah, and he shared his experience with us and feelings about this.
Sekarang anak saya berumur 10 tahun. Pada mula-mula kelahiran anak tu saya tak boleh terima dengan anak saya berbinkan Abdullah, sedangkan itu zuriat saya. Tapi berbalik pada saya seorang Islam, saya aku atas semua kesilapan saya. Harapan saya untuk anak saya nak anak saya jadi yang terbaik. Anak saya masih belum besar, belum tahu apa-apa lagi. Jadi saya nak kalau boleh anak saya itu masih lagi kecil. Tak nak, dia tahu. Semoga saya banyak salah pada anak saya itu. Sebagai seorang Islam, kita memang tak boleh lari pada hukum akam tentang agama ni. Saya aku pada agama, tapi daripada dunia manusia ni, kita minta supaya anak-anak yang senasib dengan anak saya ni tidak pandang serong ataupun hina.
And that you just heard from a father who is dealing again with his child having the last name Bin Abdullah. So it's quite a, from the sounds of it, it's very saddening. It's quite a harrowing experience for the parent and actually for the family as a whole.
Yeah, and it's also something that you would have thought we wouldn't be having to be talking about in this day and age.
Mm.
You would have thought this would be something we would have sorted out a long time ago and we would have moved past. Instead, we're consigning people and families and children who are going to grow into adults, who are going to have children themselves, and give them a title that really, I mean, Bin Abdullah in itself is a beautiful thing. But at the same time, the connotations that we all know, the cultural connotations, mm-hmm. we all know what it means. It's unfair.
So we're now going to dive a bit deeper into this together with Sharia lawyer Nizam Bashir. Nizam, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Could you give us a bit of background context on the National Fatwa Committee and its role in implementing Malaysia's Sharia law and who sits on this committee?
Well, the committee was set up in early 1970 and it was formulated principally to express an opinion on matters involving Islamic law at a federal level. So what happens is whatever that's formulated or arrived at that committee, they should bring it back to the state and at the state level essentially gazette it, then it becomes part of state law. And the deliberations at the committee level, I would say, is quite advanced, as the membership of the committee is made up of muftis from every state. You've got experts from various fields on the committee. You even have someone from the Judicial Legal Service or even from a legal background appointed to be on the committee. You have fatwas on various matters discussed and formulated at that level.
Different Malaysian states have different laws for the naming of children born out of wedlock. In yesterday's ruling, the federal court decided that the fatwa of the National Fatwa Committee could not be imposed on a child from Johor, given that in the state of Johor, the national level fatwa on naming illegitimate children has not been gazetted into law. Therefore, are fatwas issued by the National Fatwa Committee legally binding or not?
They're not legally binding. As I mentioned earlier, what happens is this. Whatever that is formulated at the National Fatwa Council level has to be brought back to the state. And at a state level, essentially, that it has to be gazetted, then it becomes part of state law. So in the context of illegitimate children, naming of illegitimate children, there are three broad divisions. So, for example, if you look at Perlis has a state fatwa that says that parents can name their illegitimate children with a bin of the father's name. And then beyond Perlis, you've got states like Selangor, Melaka, and the Federal Territory. They have got a fatwa which says that a legitimate child can only be named with a bin Abdullah. And that fatwa is gazetted there. And finally, you have states like Perak, and as far as I know, even Johor, which doesn't have a fatwa on the matter. So essentially, the predicament of parents having children, illegitimate children in those states, pursuant to the decision that came out yesterday, they can't have a bin for the child. So you have three sort of separate naming regimes, so to speak. And I think that's causing problems. And I think over time, you probably find more cases coming out with perhaps different outcomes.
Now, how are legitimate and illegitimate children defined officially in the country?
Well, the respective states, let's just deal with this from an Islamic law perspective, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The respective states define it in this way. If a child is born 6 months and 2 seconds earlier as compared to the date of the nikah, the child is illegitimate. So anything beyond that time frame, the child is legitimate. Anything earlier than that, is the child is illegitimate. And that's when the naming laws come in.
So under Section 13A, under the Births and Deaths Registration Act, it appears to allow for the surname of the mother to be passed on to an illegitimate child. Or if the father requests so, he may give the child his surname. Could you walk us through why this doesn't automatically apply to all Bin Abdullah cases?
Unfortunately, based on yesterday's federal court decision, the majority of the judges take the view that Section 13A cannot be utilized by Muslim parents. And they premise that ruling on the basis that surnames is not something that's used by Muslims in Malaysia.
Now, what are the arguments on the part of the parents fighting to name their children's surnames after themselves?
What we articulated in court was premised on this. Number one, Section 13A can be utilized by anyone. And there's no, it does not discriminate between Muslims and non-Muslims. So as long as the Muslim father, or even a non-Muslim father for that matter, as long as any father is prepared to give his name to the child is able to essentially ascribe the father's name to their name. So, for example, if the name of the child is Ahmad Ali, and the father's name is Faizal, with Section 13A, the child can be named Ahmad Ali bin Faizal. So, whereas the National Fatwa Council's National Fatwa Committee's fatwa says it has to be bin Abdullah. And that was why we went to court and said that, look, Section 13A is very clear. As long as the father is prepared to effectively lend his name or give his name to the child can take that name.
Does this happen in other countries practicing Sharia law? How are the laws different or similar in other countries?
Well, I suppose it's similar in terms of the various issues that we have to grapple with. In the sense that there are conservative positions and there are non-conservative positions. And as opposed to fixating, I think, on the respective countries, I think let's just focus on one simple fact. We have the federal constitution, and there are constitutional rights that are that every citizen, every child can avail himself or herself of, and based on that, a child shouldn't be discriminated upon. A child shouldn't be made to suffer the ignominy of being identified as being an illegitimate child. Yeah. So. I think that should be where we should be heading. Ultimately, you know, every parent that I've spoken to, and I think earlier you heard the parent giving his interview as to what he wants for children in this similar situation, they all accept that they have committed a sin. But they all take, you know, the view that whatever their sins may be, the punishment shouldn't be visited upon the child. So that being the case, we must find a solution and come to a position which is compassionate, merciful, and fair to an innocent person, the child. And that should be the focus.
Right. And in terms of the significance of yesterday's ruling, will it have an impact on subsequent cases like this, like these?
It depends on how you look at it. Of course, if you listen to perhaps the lawyers who appeared for the religious council, they take the view that the issue is settled as long as the fatwa is gazetted. I don't share their sentiments. As far as I'm concerned, as far as yesterday's ruling, it was a case that dealt with a question of interpretation of the various provisions of the Birth Parents Registration Act. So it's a question of construction. But unfortunately, when the court made its ruling, they relied on the opinions of some experts, but unfortunately, what was the problem that happened in that particular instance? The expert opinions were not disseminated to us, not shared with us. So, it's a bit unfortunate. We were not given an opportunity to look at the expert opinions and perhaps offer a rebuttal of those expert opinions. And I think moving forward, once the court has the benefit of perhaps a countervailing viewpoint on the matter, I think, you know, there may be a different conclusion to this issue.
Nizam, thank you again so much for speaking with us today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
That was Sharia lawyer Nizam Bashir talking to us about a judgment yesterday at Malaysia's federal court, which handed out a majority ruling that a couple from Johor could let their son of 5 months and born out of wedlock take on his father's name as his last name. Again, if you have any thoughts on this story, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.